Joining me on the Monocle Arts Review today is Ossian Ward, Head of Content at the Listen Gallery here in London. Today we're discussing an exhibition taking place inside HMP Reading about surely its most famous ever inmate, Oscar Wilde, and a new retrospective of Kerry James Marshall's work in Chicago. Plus we'll have a quickfire roundup of some of the other latest shows you need to know about. All that ahead on the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Stay tuned. Ossian, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank
Freshly
you.
Freshly returned from holidaying.
Yeah.
You're looking well for it.
Thank you.
But let's go to Reading.
Yeah.
It's not Sicily, but I think it's still got plenty to recommend it at the moment.
Yeah.
More specifically, HM Prison, yeah. Reading. Oscar Wilde, the most famous inmate that was just Reading Jail then.
Yeah.
Tell us what is happening there. Is it a cultural extravaganza?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty serious when he was there, obviously, in 1897. He didn't really recover from his time in prison. Obviously, he was put there for gross indecency, as we like to call it now, with Lord Alfred Douglas Bosie, his boyf of the time. And that was his famous phrase, was the love that dare not speak its name. And it's kind of heartbreaking because it's a very Victorian prison. You're clanking around these very metallic iron bars everywhere, which have now got the addition of, I don't know, a kind of 1980s plastic bars and then the barbed wire. And as recent as 2012, it was still a juvenile detention centre. So pretty harsh location for that, but even more harsh in Oscar's time because it was solitary confinement. You had to wear masks. He didn't survive. He was put into some sort of very hard labour activities to begin with, and he couldn't hack it. And basically, a couple of years after that, he published maybe one more thing. He did the Ballad of Reading Jail when he came out, and one more thing, and then he died not long after that, age 46.
Because he was broken. And I guess that was the point, wasn't it? It was deliberately dehumanising and degrading. That was the way these systems worked at
that
time.
Yeah, and it was, the penal system was, you know, this idea that people would be in solitary confinement. So I'm just going to read you a very quick bit of De Profundis, which was the letter. He was only allowed to write letters. So he wrote this one long letter, thousands and thousands of words. And he talks about, I remember sitting in the dock on the occasion of my last trial, listening to this appalling denunciation of me, and being sickened with horror at what I heard. And it suddenly occurred to me how splendid it would be if I was saying all this about myself. I saw then at once that what is said of a man is nothing. The point is who says it. So what he's kind of realised after all these years of being flippant and literary and turn of phrase, it's what is the pain and the suffering. So that's the backdrop. And what we have is an exhibition put on by Art Angel, who specialise in finding these amazing locations for exhibitions. And indeed, this happened very much at the last minute. I think they were told in June or something they had the space and they had very limited time and, you know, here are the keys. But what they've managed to put together is astounding, really, because there are obviously references to Oscar throughout. There's letters that have been written. So one of the artists I work with, Ai Weiwei, has provided a letter which is actually to his son, talking about his own disappearance and being locked up for 81 days in China. And that's a kind of heart-wrenching piece. There's lots of these ones you can listen to in your cell with the headphones on, sat in solitary confinement, listening to these heartbreaking letters written by other writers and poets. And there will be readings throughout the time. So they're going to read De Profundis.
And this is read in full, as I understand it. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know.
That sort of takes a number of hours.
Yeah. Among the people who will be reading them are actors such as Maxine Peake, Ralph Fiennes, and then Ben Whishaw and other people, like artists like Ragnar Kjartansson. So that's happening, I believe, every weekend throughout the run. But also, as you explore these jails, I mean, there's these three levels, one red, one green, one blue, these different systems in this Sir George Gilbert Scott building. The atmosphere is tangible. You know, what you see as you go through, there's Oscar's cell, C33 or C22, I can't remember. And then the rest of them have little snippets of work. So there's work by Marlene Dumas, who obviously likes painting portraits of tortured people. She's done Osama bin Laden and other people in the past, but she's done some, you know, they're just one hung in each room and they're very powerful. Wolfgang Tillmans visited and was obviously quite shocked thinking about this as a youth prison, and he took these beautiful self-portraits of himself kind of disfigured in what I guess must have been mirrors in the loos or something, and it's making his face disfigured, and he's commenting on these bars within bars and the layers of that. And there's some great work by Robert Gober, an American artist, who's created these kind of vignettes where you look through the floor and you see water trickling through a body, and you see almost like a man's insides trapped through another layer of concrete or whatever. So there's lots to get your head stuck into, lots to listen to, lots to appreciate, but just the setting is
extraordinary.
Yeah.
But, and I know you've already described this a bit before we move on, because it sounds like curatorially such an accomplishment in such a short space of time. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, they specialise in this. I think the venue speaks for itself, just the being there kind of accounts for maybe 50% of it. And some of the works don't work quite so well. I mean, Steve McQueen's made this kind of interesting intervention, which looks like a golden chainmail mosquito around some of the beds. But you could imagine it's almost like a matrimonial double bed, thinking about Oscar and his partner. And then there's Felix Gonzalez Torres and just two beautiful intertwined light bulbs hanging together as an unrequited love kind of statement. So, yes, it's done in an understated way. I think if they'd had more time, maybe they would have done something more overblown and less sensitive. But
maybe the better for the constraint
of
time.
Yeah, and I think obviously the venue will always kind of override what's there and the haunting nature of it. But also the Oscar Wilde connection really brings it to life.
Well, you can see it for yourselves. Artists and Writers in Reading Prison is on until October the 30th. Ossian, let's move on. Let's move to Chicago, where the MTA Chicago is hosting a retrospective of Kerry James Marshall's work. Let's talk about the artist first, because obviously big billing here. Considered by many, you know, one of America's certainly preeminent, one of the greatest living artists in America?
Yeah, certainly in terms of black artists who are still alive. And, you know, he's Chicago resident. I think he also went to art school in LA. And this show ends in September, end of September, but is moving on to New York, the Met Broyer, the new Met Museum. And then it's going to LA. And that was apparently kind of like a big bidding war about who gets the show next. So the tour is carrying on and the show is fantastic. I mean, as a 25-year-old in LA, just coming out of art school, he painted this shocking self-portrait, which is called A Portrait of the Artist as a Shadow of His Former Self, which is a bit of Oscar Wilder-y for you. But it's basically this picture of him as a kind of black, flat shadow with a wide trilby hat and these glaring teeth. So you can see his teeth and his eyes. And it's like a real shocking image of black persona. But what he's done since then is basically use what he calls this flat blackness to explore the figure and the face and the persona of black identity ever since then. He talks about it almost like bringing the three dimensions to that. So what looks like a very harsh portrait, you know, almost a kind of caricature, is throughout his career, he's been building on it and kind of bringing this black figure out of the shadows, if you like. And amazingly, even at that stage, he painted this in egg tempera, which is a kind of useless Renaissance medium that falls off walls, you know. But he knew from that very first moment that what he was doing was not trying to compete with the old masters, but somehow that to put the black body and the black image back into art history, where it almost hasn't been. There's no black old masters. There's very few black images in the history of art. So it's a powerful statement to come up with as a 25-year-old. And he keeps reiterating it. So we go through from that in the 80s to quite a beautiful picture of a kind of almost like a body being autopsied called Beauty Examined from 1993, which is based on a Rembrandt image, but is the idea of how is black beauty, how do we examine it? And he's kind of peeling apart the skin, which also tells you everything you need to know about the colour of skin. There's no difference. But again and again, this kind of very harsh black line and black surface keeps coming up. But then he becomes more ambitious and he starts painting gardens. So in Watts, for example, in LA, he draws these beautiful idyllic gardens, which are actually of projects. So kind of like the tough neighborhoods of town. He paints the glorious side of life. He paints people looking after themselves and their identities and their imagery and their gardens. And they're quite celebratory and beautiful images as well. And he can be tough. There's the face of Nat Turner appeared in A Water Stain, which is this kind of black slave angrily appearing out of a kind of Turin shroud-like image. So he can do the whole thing. He can do the whole gamut from angry to sad to beautiful.
And it's interesting, Ossian. Obviously, you don't want to sort of weigh down artists, especially while they're still producing good work, with this sort of social responsibility. Because I know he sort of talked about this idea of a vacuum in the historical image bank, and you've talked about how reflecting this. Does it weigh heavy, or does he deal with that weight of expectation as lightly as he wields his brushes?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's moments where you think, wow, this is really dark and harsh, and there are these solitary portraits and images of Frankenstein with the black body overlaid. But actually, what you get more is the tenderness and the society and the culture and what he's celebrating. It's really positive. Like, I've never seen that much diversity in a gallery ever in my life. Young kids, black, white, really enjoying themselves, even not on a busy day in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. But it was really positive messages coming from the paintings, coming from the viewers. I think he can do dark. He's painted the loss of great figures such as JFK, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, you know, all in the same pictures. He's done that kind of work. But also the title of the show is Mastery, which is mastery without the E. So it's kind of his slang, which comes from a comic that he's been doing since 1999 called Rhythm Master. But the idea is that he has mastered the painting technique. You know, he's becoming ever more ambitious and ever more sensitive. And, you know, he can compete with the old masters, which is a funny thing to say about someone painting, you know, in the end of that long stretch of abstract painting in the 20th century and into the 21st century.
Kerry James Marshall's exhibition is on at MCA Chicago until the 25th. As Ossian said, it travels to New York from the end of October through till January 2017. And who knows, seemingly onward beyond that even. So watch this space. Let's return to London, Ossian, shall we, and rattle through a few other noteworthy exhibitions that have caught your eye. Maybe starting with Sanford Biggers.
Yeah, well, Sanford Biggers, interestingly, is a similar, you know, young, slightly younger black American figure from New York who I don't know if he's really shown in London before, so he's not that familiar to us as an audience, but I think he's showing at Massimo Di Carlo. It's a small show. I sort of walked in and I thought, okay, this is quite safe. There's these quilted paintings, which I guess relate back to sort of some African-American art, these tapestries and these quilts from the mid-20th century, which are really interesting. But I felt like, okay, this is just some stuff to kind of introduce us to him. But upstairs, there are these quite difficult small sculptures based on African sculptures and traditional works, which in a series of videos he shoots with a gun, I guess, and they sort of splinter open, they fraction. So you get a sense in a similar way that there's this kind of sociological, political undertone to what he's doing. Again, it's quite celebratory. Some of the work is quite hallucinogenic and quite psychedelic and fun. And, you know, he's also known for performances and he's lighthearted and funny with it. But it's not enough quite here yet to get the full measure of him. You know, this is the beginning of a Sanford Biggers. I'd like to see more of him. I think he's a really interesting artist. So
intriguing. Okay, well, let's talk a bit about Lake Valley, which is the exhibition of Rachel Rose's works. Mainly video, all video work?
Yeah, and it's really just one video, which is a bit of a surprise. She's a young video artist, but American again. Seems to be all Americans I'm talking about. But she has made a very beautiful animation. She's known for films that are about architecture and people, but this is an animation where she's taken 19th and 20th century children's book illustrations, cut and pasted them up, and created her own Bambi-esque tale. And you have this dog come rabbit, which is at home with its owners, but it's being given no love and decides to go outside and see, kind of frolic and play and find some sort of animals in the neighborhood. And then this quickly becomes a kind of darker, more sort of alienating experience for this creature, which then becomes assailed on all sides by actually just beautiful visuals, not necessarily creepy crawlies or monsters. And then from then you get this sense of this animal's abandonment or the lack of space, and suddenly this kind of idyllic woodland becomes just a tiny blot in a huge urban sort of nightmare. So it's pretty assured and accomplished for someone who's only been in the game for a few years. And, you know, she's won a couple of awards and come to people's attentions, but she's obviously not afraid to go full tilt and go out there. So it's an interesting one. It's a short film, for sort of 8 minutes long, but very accomplished.
Striking. Well, another one to watch, and that's on until the end of the month, till the 30th of September. Let's finish, though, shall we, at Sadie Coles?
Yeah. Well, this is a difficult one to make sense of because he's an interesting artist. His name is Yuri Aran, again, New York-based, but he's made quite an amazing show out of his paintings and these sculptures and these assemblages that sort of surround the gallery space. But punctuated throughout are these strange films. I would say they were Beckettian, you know, these two guys kind of standing there shooting the breeze, one talking, the other one sort of making gestures. They look a bit like nightclub bouncers. One of them turns out to be Yuri Aran's twin brother. So that was quite weird, like spying him across the room at the private view, thinking, is that him or is that his brother? And they do their kind of weird slapstick shtick in the videos. I'm not quite sure how that relates to the work in the rest of the installation. I couldn't quite figure that out. Maybe I was confused by things and not there for long enough. But these kind of weird, somber head-to-heads between these two guys are interesting. And yeah, perhaps he'll turn out to be an interesting artist too.
Well, that's two things about suffering, which is at Sadie Coles throughout September, ending on the 1st of October 2016. That brings us to the end. It was a whistle-stop tour, Ossian. Thanks very much for guiding us through. That's Ossian Ward from The Listen. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review. The show was produced by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. And do join us at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking music. But for now, from me, Tom Edwards, thanks for tuning in.